evening, morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Roberto, and this is All Hands Podcast. 7-Eleven direct from Kansas City, Missouri, my hometown. We're very glad you had a good week. Mine was okay. I'm starting something new, and I won't go into it, so I'll leave that at. So, tonight's Subject Friday, even though it's Saturday, is about the NFL draft. Now, of course, this is a dream of every father and every son, and just maybe the family and the girlfriend, or whatever, to see a person's name being called by a commissioner of the NFL, for them to be drafted to a professional football team and be paid for it. Now, over the years, we have seen, you know, some players come in and completely wash out. And then we've seen some that actually go on to become legendary, you know, players. And some have won buku Super Bowl rings and made buku dollars and all the things that comes with being an NFL player. But my thing is this. With the NFL, it's kind of like the Spider-Man thing. With great power comes great responsibility. Well, the NFL has a lot of responsible guys. Some have been so disrespectful that sometimes they never see them in a football team or play again anywhere. And it's like, okay, well, what do they do exactly? Well, I have three good examples of what I'm talking about. Actually, four. The first one is Terrell Owens. I don't know exactly when he was drafted, but he was. And he played for San Francisco, and he played for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cowboys. Now, he didn't win a ring. He did win, like, the, you know, title, I guess the NCAA, NFL, whatever the hell you want to call it. He won a ring for it, but he didn't win the big ring, like the Super Bowl ring. But his antics on the field and off the field is what people actually remember about Terrell Owens. Namely, him breaking his leg and having a workout session in his driveway while a bunch of guys are hyping him up before he had come into a game with Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. He's also known for, you know, taking a Sharpie out of his sock and signing a football that he caught and running it in for a touchdown to give it to his manager. Yeah, that was a crazy move. And then, of course, there was the whole taking a football after he touched down and walking into the middle of the Dallas Cowboys stadium's, you know, field, standing on the star with both his hands out like he was God. Oh, Terrell. Well, after his career in Dallas was a big, gigantic, huge, grade A Goodyear blimp fuck-up, he kind of disappeared from the spotlight. Like a lot of players that do stuff that diminishes their talents because of what their antics are. He talked about his quarterback. He talked about the team very badly. And it just went on and on and on. Which is why right now T.O. is playing in a fan-based football league. Which I never heard anything like that, but that's what he's doing. And he has not snapped a ball in the NFL well over a decade, I think. But stranger things have happened. The second person I'm talking about when it comes to NFL drafts is Antonio Brown, Mr. I need to stop sleeping with too many white women, and taking his jersey off during a game with the Patriots last year, and saying dumb shit over and over and over again, and pretty much just being a complete jackass. Now, right now, him and Floyd Money Mayweather has offered $20 million to any team in the NFL to pick up Antonio Brown. Now, I mentioned this before on my, you know, my TikTok page, and I guess I can repeat it here. You mean to tell me that you're going to pay an NFL team that makes money any damn way, no matter what, $20 million to put this crazy-ass man on your team? No, I don't think so. And that's probably why half of the teams in the NFL didn't even act on it, and rightfully so. Because Antonio Brown brings a lot of luggage, badass luggage. And he has his own antics of himself. And some people think that he's kind of off because of what, all of his stuff that he has done on the field and off the field. And I tend to agree. But still, there's no excuse for good manners. Either you have them or you don't. Antonio Brown may have him somewhere down the line, but now he's only known for walking off the field before the game's over and hyping up the crowd of a team that they were playing. But he's not known, and I mean, even he even has a Super Bowl ring, if you can believe that shit. But no one knows that because of his antics and what he does off the field and on the field. And it kind of just overshadows everything he done in his career, basically. Because everybody sees him as some arrogant, crazy-ass bastard that has nothing else better to do than put the spotlight on me. Like he's a damn opera singer or some shit. So he's also a very good example. The third example I have, and I don't know if you want to call it, it was bad karma. Adam Pac-Man Jones. Now, if you don't remember Adam Pac-Man Jones, that's, you know, very well why. Because he did some shit when he was playing for, I think it was the Colts. And he spent all of his money with his boys and everything in strip clubs. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people go to strip clubs. Women go to strip clubs now these days. And they just like to see people dancing around on poles. Nothing wrong with that. I've been to a few bachelor parties in my time, and I've occasionally liked to see women sliding around on poles and everything, but that's just me. That's any man. But Adam, on the other hand, he spent a lot of damn money in these clubs and, you know, strip joints and stuff like that. He also had a very, very extremely badass attitude. And he had this notion that I don't give a fuck, basically. Now, he has played off and on in the NFL. I don't know if he's even playing now anymore, to tell you the truth. The last time I seen him, and you can't believe this, he was on, I think it was TNT, or TNA, Total Nonstop Wrestling, if you can believe that. And he was, you know, going by his nickname, Pac-Man. And he cut his hair, hit an afro, whatever. That's the last time I seen him. Now, I don't know if he changed his ways, which, if he did, that's awesome. Or he went on to do some other dumb shit. Who the hell knows? But no one would know who Adam Pac-Man Jones is unless they think about all the dumb shit he has done off the field. See, he probably was a good player. He was a good player. And the only thing people remember him for is his bullshit. Like any player. He can win 19 damn Super Bowls, and they will only remember him as a guy that liked to go to strip joints and spend all his money on these strippers that don't give a shit about him either way. So, if he's playing still, okay. But I'm pretty sure he's not now. Because who the hell wants to touch him? He's just like Antonio Brown. He brings too much damn luggage. And most teams ain't trying to have that shit. They want to win games. They want to win Super Bowls. They ain't trying to have no prima donna on the damn field acting stupid. And that's what Pac-Man did. So, wherever you are, Pac-Man, I hope you satisfied now. Because you ain't playing in the NFL or any place else for that matter. And last but not least, Colin Kaepernick. I have been talking about this man and his predicament for 5 years. He has not snapped a ball in the NFL in 5 whole fucking years. Not because he was going to strip joints, not because he was doing dumb shit while he's not playing or hanging out with the wrong crowd and all the other bullshit that most NFL players are good for. No, he protested during a game against police brutality. How he did it so? Well, unless you were in a coma or something, you know that he took a knee during the national anthem. Now, people have their own subjects about this, about the story with him. But for me, the man didn't do anything wrong in my eye. It's a free goddamn country. They call it free for a reason. And he was protesting something that's been going on with African Americans since the first African came off the first damn boat from Africa. And that is getting their ass whooped by regular people and police people. And it goes down the line. All the way to now. And he noticed this stuff. And he decided to protest. And he decided to take a knee during the national anthem. Now, this is where things get really, really stupid with this predicament. Now, it started with him protesting police brutality. He said it himself. And someone, I will not mention, decided to make it about the national anthem itself. And he took it and ran with it. So, of course, everybody in the fans and all of his, you know, people in the stands are all saying, get your ass up, get your ass up. You're supposed to salute the national anthem. And Cullen was like, no, I'm doing this as a silent protest to police brutality. It's the people that made it about the national anthem. The national anthem can be damned. It was about something that's been going on for centuries. And he was just silently protesting that predicament. And lo and behold, where are we now? He ain't played in 5 years, and they still fucking doing it. This time around, they don't beat him, though, because that takes too much energy. They just shoot him and then yell out, it was self-defense. I was in fear for my life. You're a fucking police officer. How the hell you can be in fear for your life if you're a police officer? You're in fear 24/7. Not just when you pull over a black dude. And that was what he was protesting. But the NFL and all their infinite wisdom and inspiring change bullshit quietly pushed his ass out the damn NFL to never play another football pro again. He'd been badmouthed by most people. Especially those that said, I'm not going to watch another game if he keeps doing that. You're still watching. Hell, you're probably watching the draft right now. It didn't change shit. If anything, he proved that it still is going on. And what he was doing was quiet and his fucking right. So, watching the NFL draft, for me, I don't watch it for who is going where and what they're going to get and everything else. Fuck all that. It's about their families and everything else. I know 2 things or 3 things that will come out of the draft when they call their name. First of all, their mother's going to be involved every single fucking time. And that's just not football either. That's baseball draft, basketball draft, hell, hockey, whatever. The athlete himself or herself is doing it for the mother. Mom was the one that got him up and took him to soccer practice and took him to football practice and baseball practice and basketball practice. Their whole entire damn lives. To get to the point where they were drafted by a professional team making some buku damn dollars. And they've all said the same thing when they did it. I did this to take care of my mama. I bought my mama a house. My mama a car. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I would do the same damn thing. I wish I could do that for my mother. God rest her soul. But the thing is, though, ladies and gentlemen, I watched the NFL draft to see who may or may not be, and you may think I'm wrong for this shit, the next OJ. I mean, come on. There's got to be 1 or 2 guys in this club, and it's been like that for decades. One of these damn fools is going to get, it got drafted. And they're sitting there like, damn, I got drafted. I'm about to get paid. and they just let it go to their heads. Next thing you know, they're getting Ferraris that they can't pay for or don't want to pay for. They bring in their friends that they were friends with since pre-K along with them for the ride so they can spend their money too. And family members will come out the woodwork that you've never met. And life goes on and on and on. So, like any sport, there's always a downside to it. Money will show you who you can trust and who you don't. Being drafted by the NFL, you are guaranteed to make some kind of damn money doing whatever the hell you're doing. And people know that. So they will purposely run to your car. Oh, you hit my car. You hit my girlfriend. I'm pregnant by you. And all that type of shit. Just to get some fucking money out of you. Out of them. And if you are a African-American, that is prominent very well. I was watching this HBO special called Broke. It involved a bunch of old athletes from different genres of sports that blew all their fucking money in Chapter 11 and 13 and on other numbers because they squandered all the money they made in their career. And people have sued them. Family members have sued them. You know, it's just dumb shit. And they know you can't say, well, no, I ain't got no damn money. Hello. You play for a professional football team. You were getting money at the yin-yang. You get more money in one day than I do in my entire life. They know that, and I know that. So, of course, they're going to say, well, you hit me 3 or 4 times across the face and want $4 million. Really? You got 15 kids. They want money. Child support. Slap your ass with it real quick. Your manager might be stealing from you. Some of these damn sports agents, just because they say, oh, I'm here for you. No, not really. Oh, they're there for themselves. And they will take all the damn money right out underneath you, and you'll never even know it. See, NFL and any other sport is a trust thing. You trust that the team that you got drafted by will give you a good deal. And if they give you one, and everybody and their grandma knows it, hell yeah, they're going to come up there out the woodwork saying, okay, this motherfucker did this to me in 1987, and I want my money. What the hell did he do? Well, he kind of ran on my foot with a car. That was like 30-some-odd years ago. Why are you bringing it up now? Because, man, he rich. He can afford it. Really? Okay. Whatever. It's crazy. And that HBO special opened my eyes because they were saying stuff like, why the hell do you need 15 cars if you're one person? Why are you buying your best friends and your friends' friends fucking cars to drive around in? They ain't got no damn license. They ain't got no damn insurance. Hell, they shouldn't even be driving any damn way. But you give them cars. You give them motorcycles. You got a 15-car garage for like 9,000 cars and just acting like a complete damn fool because you know that you're getting paid by this professional team. And they know that you're getting paid by a professional team. So then it doesn't stop there. Now you take vacations with the family, immediate and not immediate. You buy this big ass house with 9 bedrooms and you bring your boys along. And what I mean by boys, I'm talking about guys that, you know, probably did some shady shit back in the day and you grew up around them. And they always talk about, hey man, once you make it to the pro, man, don't forget me. And they're not. And they bring them right along. They sit around this big ass 15-inch, 45-inch screen TV in this big ass lavish house playing video games, playing Madden and all that shit. And white people got that bad too. They, you know, how do you pay off my bills and, you know, shit like that. Give you a really bad sob story just to get some kind of money out of you. Money will make you fucking crazy. It will. And the more you make, the more trust that you have for anybody. Because you don't know if they're there for you or they're there for your money. Most times it's for you, they're for your money. But you're the one doing all the legwork. You literally, you running, you tassing, you dunking and everything else. These other people sitting around waiting for you to come off the field so they can, you know, bother you and hassle you for some more money. sometimes being a professional can be extremely bad. And family, they're not immune to that shit. On that series I was telling you about, The Broke, this guy was telling me that his mother sued his ass for $30,000. The reason? Because she says she wants all the fucking money back that she spent on him to raise him. Can you believe that shit? I was like, run that by me again? It's your mother. Okay, damn. Your family suing you for shit that you should be doing anyway? You can eliminate all that by just keeping your damn ways closed. And like I said, I'm not bad-mouthing anything. I'm not bad-mouthing nobody. But you have got to admit, once a athlete of any sport makes it to the big damn time, then you automatically think that you made it to the big damn time. The only people that should be happy about their sons or their daughters being drafted by a professional team is the mother and the father. The father usually don't play any damn way. Usually when a guy gets drafted by one of these damn teams, the first person they think about is their mother. So dad's over here like, I brought you in here too. No, you didn't. You just put the sperm in there, that's all. But they do everything for mom. I'm going to do this for my mama, man. And that's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's another parent sitting over here, unless he ain't been around or some shit, that like has some accolades too. They ain't asking for shit. They just want to say, hey, my dad's over here. You know, I rarely hear that, you know, I do this for my dad and stuff like that. No, strictly moms. And that's kind of weird. But either way, folks, the NFL draft, it's a skeptical in its own. You got people wearing the jerseys of the team that they're rooting to get somebody good for and so they can do better next year and so on and so forth. And sometimes they nail it and sometimes it nails them. Just depends. But I watch it to see who's the future OJs and the future, you know, dumbasses and doing dumb shit and buying cars with no license and all kinds of shit that they know better, but they do it anyway. So, and I thought about this today. I was like, some of these motherfuckers gonna be up in jails and they're down the line. Because it's just, you know, because you're in the NFL, you think you're untouchable. You think that you feel like you're in a fucking mafia or something. You know, you just made it to the NFL, you're a made man. Well, sorry to tell you this, but you can go to jail faster than anybody. Perfect example of that, and also friends as well, is Michael Vick. Now, Michael Vick, before he got into his trouble with, you know, the dog fighting, he signed a contract with the Atlanta Falcons for $110 million. Art Blank told him, and I quote, "You will die, Atlanta Falcon." And I was like, whoa. And Vic, man, Vic was rolling around. He run around better than the damn running backs on that team. And his friends, I don't know if he came up with the idea or not, because the choice changed about 9 times since then. They, you know, started dog fighting ring at his old crib, his old house. Now, when they all got caught, all the friends, quote unquote, turned on Michael Vick. Hey, Michael Vick was the one that came up with the idea. The man was making $110 million. He don't need to do no damn dogfighting. None of your damn, if your friends want to do that shit, stay as far away from him as you fucking possibly can. Because in the end result, he went to prison. And his name was tarnished for quite some time. Hell, there's people right now that still don't like Michael Vick. He killed dogs. Well, there was more than one person there. But Michael Vick was the most noticeable because he played for a professional football team. So, of course, you're going to rub his nose in the dirt before anybody. And I have the perfect example of what the NFL would do to a person. O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson, Mr. Run Through the Airport for Hurts and all that bullshit. Well, First of all, OJ lost his black card. What I mean by that is he's no longer black. A long damn time ago. He was a running back. He was hanging around with, you know, the gritsy, bitchy people and everything else. And totally forgot that, hey, by the way, I'm a darkie. And he did all these shows, did movies and stuff after he stopped playing, and just totally knocked his blackness off his tilt. That is until he was accused of killing Anna Nicole, or Nicole Ron, you know, Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. And of course, he, you know, the routine, you know, the joke, you know, the story. He jumped in the back of a Bronco with a 357 Magnum, and his old running partner AC was riding and driving down the highway in California and ruining the NFL title or NFL finals for me, because I didn't give a shit. I was like, well, is he dead? No, okay, well, okay. Can we watch the damn football basketball game now, please? But no. But OJ was an abuser. He slapped Nicole around a lot. Got the cops called on him a few times. And he could have went to jail for the rest of his life or worse. And he got acquitted. But this motherfucker think he's John Gotti or somebody. Because he decides to go to a hotel in Las Vegas, which, if you like to know, just a side note, I stayed at that hotel in Las Vegas. I totally didn't know it was the one he went to. The damn bellhop told me that shit. But anyway, he goes in there with a few of his friends, got guns and everything else, to get his memorabilia back from these two white dudes that took it from him. And he went to jail again. This time for, you know, breaking and entering, whatever the hell else what it was. So, so that right there is the biggest sell I can give you. Now, the guys that got drafted this week, the only thing I can tell you, and you can take this any way you like to, is to keep your damn head on your shoulders. Don't let it get too big. Don't let it get to a point where you can't walk through a door without hitting both sides and start passing out money like it's Christmas or some shit. Because I'm telling you, because you're going to turn around and be 40 years old. You had played in NFL for 20 or 30 years, wherever the hell that may be. And you will turn around and find out you were broker than a goddamn broke as a joke, basically. Because you used it to buy all these lavish-ass cars and big-ass screen TVs and 7-9-bedroom mansions and doing all kinds of dumb shit. And you'll be broke by the time your career's over. You'll be doing infomercials. You know, doing reality shows and shit like that. Because you blew your goddamn money. So, my only advice to all those that have just been drafted by a professional team, you might want to watch what you do now. Because going into the NFL is like going into the Vatican. They watch everything you do. You mess up one time, they'll get rid of you and they'll bring somebody else in, just like you. You can be replaced. That's what football is. But for me, I'm just like, okay, great. Now the NFL's here. These guys got a job. Let's see what happens. But if you bring the same element that you've been around your entire life into a professional life that you're about to have, there's going to be a problem. Big one. Because it's not going to be you doing it. It'll be somebody that you know, someone that you hung around with, or whatever. They'll do something stupid. It'll get all the way back to you. And who the hell needs that over their head when they're playing football? I sure the hell wouldn't. So, and I tell my wife this, and I'll say this and I'll get off here. I said, if somebody came up to me from the NFL, I mean, I'm like, say I'm in a gutter. I'm living paycheck to paycheck or whatever until I got drafted. And they gave me a damn check for $100 million a year. Well, I'm going to be like, okay. I'll be like, yeah, okay, man, I'm going to sign this. Well, as soon as my hand came off that damn pen and that paper, I don't know none of you motherfuckers. I don't know who are you, T-Bone, who are you? I don't know what the hell is going on here. Not to say I'm gonna turn white or anything, but I'm gonna be like, okay, I can't hang around you. I can't hang around you. Fuck that shit. No. Maybe we'll go to the club. No, bro. No, I'm gonna stay in the house because I'm a professional now. I can't do that shit. And you know, it's like that for any football player. So I'm just saying, you ain't got to go out to the damn club every single fucking night. You ain't got to buy the biggest and lavish cars from all the damn time. You ain't got to go out and buy the biggest damn house on your block. Save your goddamn money so when you do retire with broken knees and legs and eyes and teeth and everything, at least you'll be comfortable while you're retired. Just saying. But if you go out and buy dumb shit for dumb people, you'll regret it. And if you cannot trust the people around you, then you should have been hanging around with them in the first place. Because money will change a person. It will. Big money especially. So, whatever you do, stay your ass away from the bad elements. That's drinking, smoking, you know, doing coke, whatever the hell else that you were into before you got drafted. Because that shit will get multiplied by 100. And you'll be like, damn, how the hell am I broke? Beats the hell out of me. Maybe hang around with T-Bone and all them. They drive around these fucking Lincoln Navigators and none of them know how to fucking drive. But you hooked your boys up and hey, I can get you this car, man. Okay, good. Okay. Why? You'll never see him again. Unless he needs more money or something. But not all NFL and NBA or any other sport, professional sports, is like that. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but there's a chosen few that will. And you'll never be able to talk to them, get a think their shit don't stink. And it just goes on and on and on. So, here's to the 2022 NFL class. Keep your money in your fucking pockets. Put it in a damn bank that no one knows about. Put that shit in your vault in your house or some shit. It doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a whole lot of people that you ain't going to know that they think they know you to get what the hell you got. You were breaking legs and tackling people and everything else, doing a job that rarer people don't do. And while they're doing it, they're robbing your ass blind while you're on the field. It's not a way to live. So enjoy it. You have all earned it. And hopefully you'll do some good work in the coming years, wherever you may land or whatever. But I'm telling you, you don't need 15 goddamn cars to get to work. On the other hand, if I was to go into the NFL or the NBA or the MLB or whatever kind of three-letter words there is, they give me buku dollars to do whatever the hell I've been doing. The only thing I'm going to get for me and my family is I'll probably get a truck and I know what kind of car that I want. And it's not a new one. It's not computerized, not a Tesla, not a Porsche, none of that bullshit. It would be a 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. I've been wanting one of them damn things since I was 5 years old. And I got $5 billion over here. I can spend this shit. Oh, you damn right. I'll buy that sumbitch off the showroom goddamn floor somewhere. Put that sumbitch in the garage. Work on it or whatever. And I have one truck. That's it. Maybe my wife has a car. Maybe that's about all. Having car collections and jewelry collections and sneaker collections and all that shit? No, I don't think so. I got one pair of sneakers. I'm good. I'll take my ass a fucking Payless before I do that Nike shit. I love Nike and everything, but goddamn. y'all want like big ass money for these shoes that are gonna wear out another few or 4 years. And the way people are collecting them, that's a waste of money. You ain't gonna ever wear them. So what the hell you get them for? But that's just me. But either way, ladies and gentlemen, that is my word for tonight. So, with that being said, this is the All Hand Podcast, and with Roberto. Please join me next week or next time I talk about something you may or may not like, and I will see you guys down the road. Good night, America, wherever you are, and keep your money in your fucking pockets. Because I'm telling you, you don't, by the time you get to my age, you ain't gonna have shit. Somebody else will have it. And what's the point of playing if you ain't gonna win it? Just saying. Folks, have a nice night and weekend. Peace.